should be invocation. Okay, so far, so good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O God, hide not your face from me.
Turn not your servant away in anger.
O you who have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God, God of my salvation.
With these words of the Scriptures in our hearts and minds, let us now confess our sins to God our Father together. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before God of all sins. I have lived as if God did not matter, and as if I mattered most. My Lord's name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let his love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all my sins, and I ask for grace that I may do better. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. And now we pause for a few moments of quiet for personal, specific confession. Brothers and sisters, as you believe, so let it be. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. And may he who began this good work in you bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And I don't know if you want to do the wave of peace to each other since we can't quite touch each other yet. Hopefully one day we will. But God's peace to each of you. Let us now pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us to trust in your abiding grace and live our lives according to your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated as we continue with the reading of God's word.
The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of God.
Thanks
be to God. And the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ and most of the brothers. Having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, I am much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The good news of Jesus for today comes from the account of St. Matthew in chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. These are the words of Jesus, one of his parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will pay you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house. And they said, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? So take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. In response to the reading of God's word, we confess together the historic Christian faith as we find it in the Apostles' Creed, which hopefully it is on the screen. All right. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mercy, peace be to each of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. One of the things I forgot to mention last week was about Grandparents' Day, which was last Sunday. I know it's a recent Hallmark holiday, but nevertheless, grandparents are a blessing, and it is a blessing to be a grandparent. So happy Grandparents' Day, a little bit late. Sorry, folks. Also ran across along those lines some older age humor to go along with grandparenting, which I haven't done in a while, but this just recently came across my desk. So just a couple of things to celebrate Grandparents' Day 1 week late. I was thinking about old age and decided that old age is when you still have something on the ball, but you are just too tired to bounce it. When people see a cat's litter box in my house, they always say, "Oh, do you have a cat?" And I just say, "No, it's for company." And when you get older, it's, you know. Employment application blanks always ask who is to be called in case of an emergency, and I always think that I should write an ambulance. The older you get, the tougher it is to lose weight, because by then your body and your fat have gotten to be really good friends. Yes. All right. Last week we met one of the apostles of Jesus named Nathanael Bartholomew. He went by both names, Nathanael his first name, Bartholomew his second name, his family name. Nathanael was a student of the Old Testament on the upside, but on the downside, he also had baggage in his life, in his heart, in his mind, which we call prejudice. And so that gave us an opportunity last week to talk a little bit about prejudice, or today as it is called, racism. And I mentioned that not only theologically and biblically, but also biologically and anthropologically, there is no such thing as race except for one. Which one? Human. Thank you. We are all brothers and sisters in the human family. We have different skin colors. We have different cultures. We do not come from different races because there's only one. It's the human race. And especially for us as Christians, we're not only brothers and sisters in the human family, we're brothers and sisters in God's eternal family, in God's kingdom. And so the question was, or the vision was, or the hope was, starting in our little group here, what if we treated each other like that? What if people treated people like people instead of like something else because they, quote unquote, come from somewhere else? And what if Christians treated Christians like fellow members of the body of Christ? Okay, last week. Today, this week, we're going to meet another one of the apostles named Matthew, but he is also called Levi, another one of those two-name situations, the son of Alphaeus. And Matthew has a distinction of also writing one of the Gospels. Not all the apostles wrote Gospels. In fact, only two of them wrote Gospels, and they are John and Matthew, which makes them also evangelists. Okay, in the biblical record, we have apostles, we have evangelists. There's four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Two of them were apostles, and they're called evangelists because they wrote an evangel, which is what the word gospel means, good news. Okay, so they are evangelists, they are gospel writers. That is Matthew's upside. He wrote one of the gospels, one of the evangels. But he also had a downside. And the downside was he was a tax collector, or as we used to say in a couple of years ago, he was a publican, not a Republican, because then he would have been giving taxes back, right? Little humor here, folks. Most likely he was a Democrat. Never mind. Let's not get too uptight now about the election. Of all the apostles, Matthew the tax collector, the publican, was the most notorious sinner when Jesus called him to follow him. He was despised by society. He was hated. He was scorned. He was vilified. And the reason for this, maybe some of you know, is because to become a tax collector in those days, you had to buy a tax franchise from the Roman Empire. That's what they did. Tax collectors bought a tax franchise from the Roman Empire, which enabled them and authorized them to collect taxes. And with that tax franchise, they did two things. Number one, they collected money to fund the Roman budget, which was kind of legitimate. But also number two, and here's the despised part, they extorted money for themselves as well. Okay? And so because these tax collectors there in Palestine, in Judea, Galilee, and elsewhere, because they were Jews, and they were working for the Romans, and they were collecting money for the Roman Empire, and they were extorting money for themselves, all from fellow Jews, fellow countrymen, that's why they were despised and scorned and hated and vilified. And they were ranked in society right down there on the bottom with the prostitutes. That's why in the Bible and the Gospels, you will read several times, it appears that tax collectors and prostitutes were with Jesus, or tax collectors and prostitutes were listening to Jesus, things like that. They were kind of lumped together in the same strata of society. And that is who Matthew was. And that's what he did before Jesus called him to follow him. We know very little about Matthew personally. Even though he wrote one of the Gospels, he did not write a lot about himself. In that Gospel, what we know about Matthew, we kind of know generally from history about tax collectors. Back in those days, there were two kinds of tax collectors. There were the gabai, as I call them, the general tax people. And then there were mokhes, this more specific kind of tax collectors. The gabai collected official taxes, you know, the property taxes, the income taxes, the poll taxes. These were levied by the government, and so there was not a lot of extortion going on because people knew what they were supposed to pay. But then the mokhes, the more specific tax collectors, they're the ones that collected taxes on imports, on exports, on the animals you used in your business, on the wagons you used in your business, and things along those lines. And so in these little specific kind of minor taxes, that's where the graft started being added on. That's where the extortion took place the most. There were in fact even two kinds of mokhes. There was the great mokhes, the chief tax collectors, who hired others to collect the taxes for them. Zacchaeus was one of those. You know, Zacchaeus, the wee little man, he was a chief tax collector. He was a great mokhes. And then there was little mokhes that collected taxes themselves by sitting in a booth, by sitting in an office, and by interacting with people, you know, face to face, and by dealing with their abuse face to face on a regular basis. And Matthew was one of those. Matthew was one of those little mokhes because he sat in a tax office. No matter what kind of tax collector you were, what your title or level was, all Jewish tax collectors were banned from synagogue and temple. They could not gather with their fellow Jews to pray. They could not gather to hear the word. They could not offer sacrifices in the temple and things like that. So what that meant was they were worse off socially and religiously in their country among their peers than Gentiles. Right down there with the prostitutes and right down there with the Gentiles. That was Matthew's lot in life. He was truly an outcast. He was a social outcast and he was a religious outcast. And that's what made Jesus' call of Matthew to come follow him so amazing, so profound, so remarkable, so significant, that Jesus, the rabbi, the one who was going to bring the kingdom of heaven, the one who's doing these miracles already, who was teaching these profound things already, took this person from the dregs of society and said, come, follow me. Matthew was a despised, hated, vilified, social, and religious lowlife. And Jesus called him to not only follow him, but then to be trained by him so that he could be sent by him to preach and to be a leader in the church. Jesus was going to take this person from the dregs of society and make him a leader and a pillar in the church. That's remarkable. That's profound. That's significant. We need to pay attention to that. How did Matthew respond to this? How did he respond to Jesus' call? Well, we can only imagine what was going on in his heart and mind, but what he did was, obviously, first of all, he left his office, his booth, his career, his job, his money, and he followed Jesus. But he also did something else. The Bible says he gave a great feast at his house. And many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples at that feast in Matthew's house. In other words, Matthew was very similar, did something very similar to what Andrew did when he met Jesus and he went and found Peter and brought him to Jesus. Do you remember that? Very similar to what Philip did when he met Jesus. Then he went and found Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. Remember that? Matthew also went and found his closest friends by sending them an invitation and brought them all to meet Jesus, the Messiah. He introduced his closest friends to Jesus, the Messiah, because that's what people do when they meet Jesus. And who were his closest friends? Well, they were people just like him from down there. They were fellow tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, just like him, outcasts, because those are the only people he knew. Those are the only people that would socialize with him and that he would socialize with. Those are the only people that would come to his house for a party. And Jesus was okay with that. He was okay going there. He was okay eating with them. He was okay socializing with them. His disciples, I don't know, maybe in the beginning, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but they were learning how to do that because they were watching the master do that. So we know also then, therefore, one more thing about Matthew from his evangel, from his gospel. And we know that kind of indirectly because there's no direct evidence for this, but if you read the Gospel of Matthew, you'll see it. Matthew loved God and he loved the Bible. He loved the Old Testament. For all the outcast isolation that he was experiencing and all the greed that was he was able to pursue to get whatever money from whatever people he got the money from, whatever made him a tax collector, whatever motivation there was, resulted finally in an emptiness in his soul, in a yearning in his soul, which made him a student of the Old Testament, which therefore made him open to following Jesus. Because it is the Gospel of Matthew that quotes the Old Testament more than Mark, Luke, and John combined. Almost 100 times, 99 times, Matthew quotes the Old Testament in his evangel. And he quotes from all three sections of the Old Testament, from the Law and the Psalms and the Prophets, pulls all that in together. He knows his Bible. He knows his Old Testament. He loved it. He studied it. All probably sitting there in the booth while he was waiting for people to in between customers, in between people coming to pay taxes. He would read that Old Testament and study it and become familiar with it. And because his tax office was in Galilee, and Galilee was at the crossroads of commercial business, of commercial travel, and because he interacted with people not only from Galilee but from elsewhere, and he heard what they were talking about, this rabbi from Nazareth, this Jesus, he was a little bit familiar with Jesus, therefore with his message, with his life. And because all of these factors were coming into play, he knew the Old Testament, he loved the Old Testament, he believed in God, but yet he also knew his sin, he knew his need, he knew his guilt, he felt this emptiness. When Jesus called him, he left all that behind and followed Jesus. He didn't know where it would lead, but what he knew, what he believed, what he hoped, what he trusted was that he'd be forgiven, he'd be redeemed, he'd be restored, and he'd be renewed in his life with purpose and direction and significance and meaning and acceptance. Tradition says that he ministered in Israel, in that Middle Eastern area, to his fellow Jews for a while and traveled as far as Ethiopia. He was there martyred, killed, like the other 10 apostles. We're not sure exactly how that happened. Some tradition says he was burned at the stake. Some tradition says he was crucified on a Tau cross. You know, it looks like the letter T, just a bar on the top, not like the traditional cross that we're accustomed to. And then his head was cut off. And that's why his shield or his emblem or his symbol is the money bags representing him as a tax collector, and also then the axe as the method of his execution or part of his execution according to one of the traditions. His day is September 21st, which is tomorrow, and I'm not exactly sure why that is. I didn't find that, but it's probably either the day he died, if we know it, or the day his bones were moved. But that seems to be a pattern with the apostles, with the days of the apostles. Either it's the day that they died or it's the day their bones were moved. What is our takeaway? It's interesting and fascinating and meaningful to learn about the apostles and their lives, but it's also meaningful and important for us to take something home with us so that it could affect our lives. For James, it was passion. And how do we deal with thunderous people who are passionate for Christ? For Bartholomew, last week it was prejudice. And how do we overcome that? What is it for Matthew? My suggestion to you, our takeaway for Matthew, is what I would call self-awareness, or maybe more specifically, we should call it sin awareness, which is, of course, part of self-awareness, isn't it? Matthew was very self-aware of his greed and his guilt and his need and his emptiness. This makes Matthew unlike many people today who are unaware of their sin. They are unaware of their guilt, and they're vaguely maybe aware of their need, and they feel their emptiness to some extent, but they go looking in all the wrong places to fill that emptiness and to meet that need. It's like that song from a number of years ago, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." Those of us who are a little older remember that, probably. This also makes him unlike many religious people, both then, there, and now, here. Because religious people are very well known to deny their sin, to deny their guilt, to deny their need, to deny their emptiness, because they cover it up and make up for it, or try to make up for it, with rituals and good works, or morality, or self-righteousness. And then they criticize others for their sin and their guilt and their need and their shortcomings. Back in Jesus' day, when Matthew made this great feast, the Pharisees who were hanging around there, who wouldn't go in, griped and complained to him, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you hanging out with those people from the bottom of society if you're some sort of rabbi or some sort of healer? What are you doing with them people?" Or today, it might sound a little different. It'd sound like, "Well, oh, they're not like us," when we see people like that. Or we would ask, "Well, what are they doing here if they were to come to church?" Or, "Let someone else help them." Back in those days, Jesus' answer to the Pharisees was, "Those who are well do not need a doctor. Those who are sick need one." And then he explained what that means. "I have not come to call the self-righteous," because there's no such thing as a righteous person in the eyes of God, right? Unless God makes them righteous. "So I have not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance and life." Because that's where repentance always leads. Repentance is never about sinning like in a pity box. Repentance is always about renewal and life. And so Matthew knew he was sick. Matthew knew he needed a soul doctor. And one day, the great physician came calling and asked him to follow him. And he did. And he found healing. And he found forgiveness. And he found meaning. And he found significance. And he found redemption. And he found renewal. and he found restoration. So if our takeaway today then is going to be self-awareness or sin awareness, I probably ought to ask you and myself, how's yours? How is your self-awareness? Or more accurately, how is your sin awareness? It's not a very popular thing today to talk about sin. People don't even know what that word means. Is it accurate, like Matthew's, your sin awareness? Or is it hiding behind some sort of veneer of religion in the name of Jesus? Listen, to be very frank, if Christianity for you or someone you know is just simply religion or ritual or morality or piety, and that's it, then you are missing out on healing. You are missing out on meaning. You are missing out on redemption. You are missing out on restoration. And you are missing out on renewal. Because that's what Jesus gives. That's what Jesus brings. And that's why Jesus came. If that's all that Christianity is, that's not it, folks. That's not what it is. But on the other hand, if you realize your sin, if you realize your need, if you realize your guilt, if you realize your emptiness, if you realize your desire for more of God, then Jesus is for you. Jesus is searching for you. Jesus is calling you. This is the reason why he came. This is the reason why he died. This is the reason why he lives for you. He's searching. He's calling. And if you haven't answered, now's the time to do that. And if you have answered, now's the time to continue to answer and to follow him and to be filled by him and to live a life that is a vessel, a vehicle for his life in the world, so you could be his instrument of compassion and peace. That would be the greatest thing that could ever happen to you in your life, is to answer the call of Jesus to follow him. Because you are so fully self-aware of your sin and your guilt and your need, but as well as his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy that comes to you without limit, so that your life can be full, it can be abundant, it can be meaningful, it can be renewed, it can be redeemed, it can be restored. God grant that to us, to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have brought an offering, then I would invite you at the end of the service to drop it off in the offering plate on your way out. Or if you haven't brought an offering, you can always send it in the mail or donate online through our website. I believe then we will continue with the prayer of the church, so I would invite you to please rise. Lord our God, grant, we pray, that we do not judge without mercy, but forgive without limit instead. That we who have known the fullness of your mercy in Christ due to our sinful condition may also manifest a compassionate heart to all those around us, especially those who sin against us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, grant to your church your spirit and your power, that we may be supplied with faithful pastors, teachers, missionaries, church workers, servants, leaders, who serve us and serve you in your name, and that we may hear and heed the voice of your word and walk in holiness of life, even as Matthew did. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, grant to those who lead us in this nation and to those who lead all the nations of the world your wisdom, your integrity, your guidance, that they may pursue what is good and right and just according to your word and your commands, and thereby serve the common good. Deliver us from all terror and threat, and grant your peace to the nations of this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, grant to all who are sick and all who suffer any kind of affliction of body, soul, or spirit, the blessing of your mercy, with forgiveness according to your will, and your presence and comfort to sustain them in the days of their trouble. Hear us now, especially as we pray in behalf of those for whom prayer has been requested, especially those who are listed in our announcements, and those we now name, either quietly or out loud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, grant to those who are homeless or widowed, the orphaned, the unemployed or underemployed, those who are victims, your strength to bear up under the weight of their trials, and your guidance to bring them to the place where their needs may be met. Open our hearts to care for them and to support them in their need, no matter what they look like or where they come from. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray also to grant us grateful hearts, so that with our voices we may offer you the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving on a daily basis, and with our tithes and offerings we may show forth our confidence in your loving care and our desire to support the work of your kingdom, especially through Good Shepherd. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. It is into your hands, dear Lord, that we commend all for whom we pray. We do that trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who also taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Ed, we have a closing song. Let us pray. Again, I thank you. Please be seated, actually. Let me say that first. Because there's a little bit more announcements today than usual, because we're in that time of year and things are beginning to happen. So thank you for coming. It was wonderful to see you. Also, let's be happy together that there's about 20 people in the early service today, which we haven't had in I can't tell you how long. Anyway, I'm almost ran out of communion. So that's a wonderful problem to have. All right, announcements. I mentioned last week we want to extend our Christian sympathy to the family of Henry Benson, who passed away recently. He'll be buried on October the 1st at the Veterans Cemetery in Arneytown as a veteran. So that'll be kind of a private service out there. They're limiting the number of people that can come. There will not be any other arrangements that I'm aware of. All right. On the upside, we want to extend our Christian congratulations to the Turpacks, Chad and Melissa specifically, upon the birth of Tegan Elizabeth. That just happened this past week, so we rejoice with them as they prepare to welcome a new life into their home. Mission of the month for September is back. We are doing the hurricane relief. There was one hurricane in the beginning of the month. Now there's two that have come up the Gulf Coast, and maybe there'll be a third one in the next couple of days down there in the Gulf. So that's what we're trying to support with our Mission of the Month offering. What's happening soon, actually, I think what's missing here is a word on the so-called free stuff table before I forget about that, because I forgot about that at the early service. So we got a lot of goodies from Bonnie Workmeister. They're on the table. Stop in, pick some up, help yourself. I'll just try to keep stocking them until they all find good homes. What's happening soon is this, and the main reason why I asked you to be seated. I had mentioned back in the spring something about the possibility of going to one service as one church, since we're so small, to have our two services. And so then we took a little survey in our family ministry Facebook group. And then at the council meeting, we had a little bit of a blessing, if you will, to try something for 4 months, beginning October 4th. So in 2 weeks, we're going to do one service at 10 o'clock. Okay, we're all going to be together. With the rules of New Jersey, we're allowed to comfortably, legally, safely put 50 people in here. And between the both services, we don't get 50. We maybe get 30. Today, we might have more than 30 because there's more than 10 of you here. So it should not be a problem space-wise. It's just going to be a real blessing to be together, one service, live-streamed. We can focus our energies together in terms of elders and readers and ushers and so on and so forth. And also, in particular, on October 4th, we also, after that one service, want to have a voters' meeting. The voters' meeting is to get congregational approval and authorization to replace the windows along the back wall of the original building, the south wall of the 1955 building that's on the parking lot. Those windows, as I understand it, are from 1955. So when you think of the heating season that is coming, think of the word sieve, as it has been for many, many years. All right, so we want to get that taken care of. And then we want to talk also a little bit about what it would cost to and how we can arrive at that funding for the windows here in room AB on the north side of the original building. They don't leak as much because there are storm windows on the inside. So we really want to do the back windows. That's October 4th after the one service. Okay, please. All right, Men of Faith, we start again on October 7th, 5:30. I'm going to be working on pizza all day at the house. And bring that, and we'll have a good conversation. What's really also really cool is what happened last week in terms of things that started up here. First of all, is our nursery school. Our nursery school started on Monday. The state says we can only have 10 children per room, so we have 23 enrolled, which is more than 10 per room, but they don't all come at the same time. And I believe they were all here. And it went really well. And there's new rules and regulations on how to enter and hand washing and all the rest of that stuff. So our teachers are doing a fantastic job. And the school is off to a really good start. And so also our seniors, our Wednesday seniors, resumed this past Wednesday. Wonderful little lunch in the back of the parking lot out there. Tables and chairs and food provided by Kelly McCloskey from Complete Care over there in Brick on Jack Martin. And it was really neat to have. There were 12 people over there.
It was just really great to have everybody together. So things are starting to pick up, and I just simply encourage you to read your Shepherd's Voice, read your e-newsletter, because there are things in it that were not in it in the summertime, because not a whole lot was happening in summertime, but now it is, okay? So keep informed. Even if you have to go find it in your spam or in your promotional folder, it does come to you, okay? Any other announcements from anybody else? All right, then let's remember on our way out of here a couple of important things. First of all, who are you? I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why are you here? To know him and to make him known. And so where are you going? I bring the compassion of Christ to people so they can live with hope and joy. Knowing and believing and living that, let us now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. And if the folks in the back can leave first, and then the folks in the middle and the folks in the front, we'll do this nicely and safely. And we'll see you next week. Thank you very much for coming. Jeff.